God's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In Luke chapter 20, verse 4, the Lord said, "The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men?" I've entitled this message, "From Heaven or of Men?" And I ask you to examine what I'm going to say to you this morning. Is it from heaven? Is it from God? Or is it of men? Is it simply some man speaking his opinion? It's one of those two things. I'm either speaking with the authority that comes from God Himself, or I'm nothing but a man speaking. Now, what precipitated our Lord making this statement? Now, this was right after our Lord had gone into the temple and overthrown the tables and drove people out. Now, if somebody came into the place where I preached and started overthrowing tables, turning over pews, and driving people out, they better have some kind of special authority to be able to do something like this. And our Lord has special authority. He has the authority of God. When He went in to the temple, it was His temple, and they were making it a den of thieves, and He drove them out, and the scribes and the Pharisees were upset with this. They didn't like what He was doing. They thought, who does He think He is? Where does He get this authority? So we read in chapter 20 of verse 1, "And it came to pass when on one of those days, as He taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel," that's what our Lord always did, that was His subject matter, the preaching of the gospel, "the chief priests and the scribes came upon Him with the elders and spake unto Him, saying, Tell us, by what authority doest thou these things? Or who is he that gave thee this authority?" Now this was one of their carefully crafted questions. They thought through this question they could get the Lord Jesus in trouble. And that's why they asked Him this question. Who gave you this authority? By what authority do you do these things? Now, the Lord Jesus has all authority. What does authority mean? Authority is the liberty to do as one pleases. The right to do as one pleases. The right to exercise power. It was who He was and who He is that gives authority to what He says. This is the one time who is speaking is more important than what is said. It's because of His authority. Now, when He says something, because of who He is, it's settled. It's settled. You can argue it against it if you want, but it's settled. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in the heavens." Now, I would like to look at a few verses of Scripture out of Matthew chapter 7 before we get back to our text that speak of His authority. And I love how that after He had preached perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, we end with these words in Matthew chapter 7. "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes." I love that slam on the scribes. What he said recommended itself as the very word of God. Now, the people looked at this young, uneducated carpenter, and they were stunned by the authority with which he spoke. He begins this message, the Sermon on the Mount, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." What authority? He declares things as they are. He declares who is blessed, who is blessed of God. And it went clean contrary to anything they'd ever heard. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. This is contrary to anything we have ever heard. And he spake words like this in Matthew 5, verse 17. "Think not that I am come." He was before he came, and he came. "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." I've come to fulfill the law. Who can say something like that but him? We read in verse 21, "You've heard that it was said of them of old time," and this is talking about the Old Testament scripture, "Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you," I know the Old Testament scripture said this, "but I say unto you." What authority he speaks with, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. "I say unto you." This is absolute authority. In verse 27, "You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery." Now that's one of the Ten Commandments. "But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." The Lord is saying, I am the only one who can interpret the law. What I say goes. I am the only one who truly knows. Look in verse 31. "It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement." Once again, that's Old Testament scriptures. "But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery." I say unto you, I'm the one who interprets the law. No one else. What I say goes. I say unto you. Now there's no authority like that. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that several other times. Now, when he says, I say unto you, there's no room for questioning. There's no room for objection. When he says, I say unto you, it is settled. There's nothing else to be said. I think of where in Romans chapter 9, Paul is quoting what took place in Exodus. "For he saith to Pharaoh, I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardened." He says to Pharaoh, "Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power, my authority in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardens. Thou wilt say unto me, well, why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? If he hardens my heart so that I can't do anything, how can he hold me responsible?" Now listen to Paul's words. "Nay, but O man, who art thou to reply against God?" You're wrong in trying to reply against God, because whatever he says is absolute, because he is God. Oh, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 21 of chapter 7, he gives the authority of being the judge. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name have we not cast out devils? And in your name have we not done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." He's got the authority of judgment. In Matthew 7:24, "Therefore whosoever saith, heareth these sayings of mine, and whosoever hears not these sayings of mine," the authority is that they're his sayings. Oh, the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what authority he demonstrated. He said, all power, all authority is given to me. You know, we think of powerful men and women. There's no such thing. All power belongs to him. And all power that he gives is simply delegated for his will to be done. He's in control of everybody and everything. He has all power and all control, and you and I have no power and no control. And you know, if you're a believer, you like it that way. Now, if you're an unbeliever, you might kick against this. But if you're a believer, you love the fact that he has all power and all authority. He's got the authority of purpose. He's got the authority of creation. He's got the authority of providence. And he's got the authority of salvation. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, he's got the authority of purpose. His purpose always comes to pass. He said, I have purposed it. I also will do it. Now, everything that happens in time was purposed in eternity. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He has a purpose. And his purpose is to glorify his Father and to glorify himself. And everything that happens in time, he purposed in eternity. If you're saved, you were saved on purpose. His purpose. He saved you. He purposed to save you. If you're not saved, he purposed to pass you by. He's in absolute control, and that's the only way it should be. He's got the authority of purpose. He's got the authority of creation. Merely as an act of his will, he spake the universe into existence. He created something from nothing. Now, what authority there is there? Oh, the supremacy of his will. All he had to do is will it, and the universe came into existence. He has the authority of salvation. You know what that means? That means your salvation and my salvation is in his hands. It's up to him as to whether or not you'll be saved. When I hear preachers say, won't you accept Jesus as your personal Savior? That's foolishness. It's not up to, he's not running for office to see if you'll accept him. You're in his hands. The question is not, will you accept him? The question is, will he accept you? Salvation is of the Lord. The Son quickeneth whom he will, the Scripture says. Thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Salvation is of the Lord. That's all that means. Like Jonah said, salvation is of the Lord. David said, the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He has absolute authority in salvation. And he has absolute authority in all things. Providence, whatever happens, he's in control of. Whatever happens today, it was his will being done. Now, somebody says, you're making puppets out of men. Well, you can call it what you want, but it's so. He's in control of everybody and everything. He's even in control of the thoughts that are going through your mind right now. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Somebody says, I don't like that. Well, that doesn't change the fact. This is who he is. He's God. We're men. He's in control. He's has absolute authority, and every believer likes it that way. Jesus Christ has all authority. I love when the leper said to him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I know you can, and I know it's up to you. If you will, you can make me clean. He said, I will be thou clean. Now he has authority over life and death. He said, no man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to raise it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. When the Lord was on the cross, he was in control of everything. He was no victim. When they came to arrest him, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell backward. Pilate said, Don't you know that I have power to crucify you and I have power to release you? And the Lord said, you have no power at all over me except to be given thee from above. He's got absolute control. He has power over all flesh. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. Do you know everybody is in his hands? Everybody. The president, the pauper, doesn't matter who it is, everybody he's in control of. Thou hast given him power over all flesh. He has power over life itself. As the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life himself and the authority to execute judgment. What that means is, he's able to say this to that man who beat on his breast, God be merciful to me, the sinner. He can say, I say unto you, that man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Now that's authority. He can speak concerning who's justified and who's left to himself. That other man, that Pharisee praying in the temple, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. He was passed over and he'll spend eternity in hell. Christ has all authority. He could say to that woman taken in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Hath no man condemned thee, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. He could say to that thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise because of the authority that this one possesses. He has the authority that only God has. The Son of Man hath authority, hath power on earth to forgive sins. Only God has the power and the right to forgive sins. Amen? You know that so. Now, Jesus Christ is God, and he has the authority. He has the power to forgive all of your sins if he's pleased to do it. Now, that demonstrates the authority of Jesus Christ. When he went into that temple with a whip in his hand and drove those people out, it was his temple. So they come to him asking, who gave you this authority? What makes you think you have the right to do what you have done? Now our Lord answers them like this, beginning in verse 3 of Luke chapter 20. And he answered and said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Answer me. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Was it something God sent or is it purely a man-made institution? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Now, what was the baptism of John that is being spoken of here? You know, John is a very unique figure in the Bible. He's the only, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only man who was foretold of and prophesied in the Old Testament. He was spoken of in the book of Isaiah and the book of Malachi as the one who would precede the Lord and announce his coming and prepare the way of the Lord. He was a very unique individual. He was filled with the Spirit from his womb, from his mother's womb. Who else can that be said of? According to Christ, he was the greatest man to ever live. Now, what was the baptism of John? Well, it's called this. John came preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. That's the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, John's baptism was really no different than Christian baptism, except he was baptizing before the death of Christ. That's the only difference. But it taught the same thing. You see, baptism tells how righteousness is fulfilled. When he came to John the Baptist to be baptized himself, he said, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? He said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Now, everything our Lord did, he did as an us. When he fulfilled all righteousness, every believer fulfilled all righteousness. And baptism teaches how a sinner is saved. Here's how a sinner is saved. When Christ lived, I lived because I was in him. When Christ died, I died Because I was in Him. When Christ paid for sins, my sins were paid for. When Christ was raised, I was raised. This is all my hope, that I was in Christ, and that everything that God requires of me, He looks to Christ for. And all my salvation is simply being found in Him. That's why Paul said, "Oh, that I may win Christ and be found in Him." Now, the baptism of John, the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, does that mean if I repent, then my sins are remitted? The remission of sins comes through my repentance? No, it doesn't mean that. The reason my sins are remitted or forgiven is because Christ died for me. "Be ye kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He didn't forgive you because you repented. He didn't forgive you because you believed. He forgave you for Christ's sake, because of what Christ did on your behalf. Now, repentance means a change of mind. A change of mind. You believe one thing and you don't believe it anymore. Your mind's been changed. You see something completely differently, the opposite of how you had seen it. Repentance, a change of mind for or concerning. That word "for" is quite often translated concerning the remission of sins. A change of mind concerning the remission of sins. Baptism, what baptism teaches. How sins are remitted through being united to Christ and Him being my substitute and satisfying for me. Through that, there's a complete change of mind regarding the remission or the remittance of sins. Now, everybody is born believing religion is a process that ends with the forgiveness of sins. If I believe, if I repent, if I turn my life around, if I'm baptized, if I straighten out, I will receive the forgiveness of sins. Now, my dear friend, that way of thinking is nothing more than salvation by works. It's just works in another form. You can call it gospel if you want, but it's not gospel. That's salvation by works. You see, salvation doesn't end with the forgiveness of sins. If you do this, 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 and this, you'll be forgiven. Salvation begins with the full, frank, free forgiveness of sins. And there isn't anything you did to obtain this. When God saves you, you find out you've been forgiven. You find out you've been forgiven. And what a blessed revelation that is. Now, we learn the gospel when we find out that salvation begins with the remission of sins. And when we have the remission or forgiveness of sins, not only do we avoid the punishment due to them, but the reason for the punishment has been removed. Now, that's what the remission of sins is. God in Christ takes away our sins to where they're no more. Christ paid for them, and God has no reason to punish us. He justifies us, and then He says, "I'll forgive you. I'll forgive you." Oh, a change of mind, a complete turnaround, a complete change of mind regarding the remission of sins. God said in Hebrews 8:12, their sins and iniquities, He said, "I will be merciful," or "I'll be propitious to their unrighteousness. I'll be propitiated. I'll have my reason for anger removed by removing those sins by the blood of Christ, and their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more." Now, I want you to think about that. If you're forgiven, God doesn't even remember your sins. And it's not because He's forgetful, it's because there's nothing there to remember. You're justified before God. You're perfect in God's sight. That's what the blood of Christ actually accomplished in behalf of His people, and that's so glorious. The baptism of John. Now, the Lord said, this baptism of John, was it of man? Simply man-made? Or did it come from God? The message I'm preaching to you, I'm asking you, you judge. Ask God to show you. See if I'm speaking according to the Scripture. Is this message speaking with the authority of God? Is this from heaven? Or is it simply my opinion? Some man-made religious dogma. Which is it? Which is it? And the Lord knew these men, and He knew how they would respond. I love this question, the baptism of John. Is it from heaven, or is it of men? Now let's look what these cowardly men have to say about this. Verse 5. And they reason with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he'll say, why then believe ye him not? Because they didn't believe John. And if we say from heaven, he'll say, why didn't you believe? But if we say of men, all the people will stone us, for they be persuaded that John was a prophet. So how did they answer? And they answered that they could not tell whence it was. We're not sure. We can't say it's not from heaven. We can't say it's not from men. They saw trouble in any answer they gave. They tried to entrap the Lord. They couldn't do it. How can you entrap omniscience? But he certainly silenced them. They couldn't answer. Jesus said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, the Lord's authority is such that he doesn't have to give an answer to me or you. He has authority, whether we agree with it or not. He's undisturbed by opposition. He has absolute control. And he said, I'm not going to tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, how should you and I respond to this? This thing of the Lord having absolute, complete authority? Well, number one, I'm going to say the same thing the publican did in the temple. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. You have all authority. I'm in your hands. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I know whose hands I'm in. And I know it's up to him to give or to withhold mercy because of his authority. And then the next thing that I would think because of his authority, I love this in Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Hence our encouragement to preach the gospel to every creature, because all authority is his. Thank God for the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Knopper, praying that God will be pleased to make himself known to you. That's our prayer.
To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.